Welcome to Explode Your Coaching Business Podcast, helping coaches, speakers, and trainers to live their purpose, grow their business, and make an impact in the world. Now, here's your host, Simona Vincenzi.
Hey, yup! Here is Explode Your Coaching Business Podcast, brought to you by gtex.org.uk, growing together exponentially. I am your host, the one and the only very good-looking Simone Vincenzi, and this is the podcast for coaches, speakers, and trainers who want to grow their businesses by making an impact in the world. Today's episode is sponsored by Explode Your Coaching Business Training. So for more information, visit www.gtex.org.uk/start, where we have a free training designed for you to help you create a six-figure coaching business. Make sure you go there. I am so excited about today's show. Why? Because today I have Bernardo Moya. Now, I'm not just excited because he is Spanish and, you know, like Italian and Spanish, we're like brothers, but he is the founder of the Best You magazine and exposition. It's a global brand that promotes personal development around the globe. Now, Bernardo have worked in event management and marketing for more than a decade, studied with Paul McKenna, Richard Bandler, and moving to his own events. And now he promotes events and exposition up to 10,000 people. So today we will going to be talking about how can you become a force in your industry. Also, what you can consider when you have to fill up a rooms. Because if you run an event, you know the most difficult thing is filling up the room. So how can you fill up that room? Then how to get seminar packed, jam-packed, free event versus paid events. What do you need to do? Pay a small ticket or give it for free. And also, how to make your event run smoothly. So make sure that actually at the end, you get even more sales. And much, much, much more. We had a blast doing this interview. So make sure you tune in and have a laugh with us. Now, also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast. If you haven't done so, what are you waiting for? Right, subscribe right now to this podcast so you will not miss any other episode, because I promise you, if you just listen to the podcast, apply this information, you are going to have a six-figure coaching and speaking business. Now, if you want to reach out to me personally and you say, Simone, you are great, I would love to talk to you, then make sure you send me an email at simone@gtex.org.uk. Come straight into my inbox, and with that, let's start the music. Hola! Hello, hi, and welcome to another episode of Explode Your Coaching Business Show. Here is episode number 20. I'm really, did I say really? Yeah, I said really excited about today's interview, because tonight we have a special guest. Is Bernardo, and he's an entrepreneur, writer, publisher, TV producer, and seminar promoter to some of the biggest names in the personal development industry. He's editor-in-chief of the Best You magazine, a fascinating voice in the personal development world. Hi, Bernardo, how are you?
Hi, Simone, how are you? Thank you for the opportunity.
It's great to see you here tonight. So, first of all, big question. We are talking about how can you become a force in the personal development industry. What's your take on that? Because you've done something incredible. I mean, you started this Best You exposition, and immediately from day one became the largest personal development gathering in the UK. So how the heck did that happen? Tell us.
Well, there's a couple of questions there. First of all, as far as how you stand out in personal development, I think there's a lot of people doing a lot of very similar things. You know, there's a lot of people doing a lot of stuff that's recycled and are using content from other people and not necessarily give them credit for it. I think people that really want to stand out in personal development really need to look at, you know, first of all, have a clear strategy and a clear plan. I think a lot of people just jump into it and they don't really think of the necessary requirements or steps in order to, you know, build your list, build your profile, your social media profile. So there's a number of things that people need to do. But most importantly, a clear plan, a clear strategy. Where is it they want to go? Where do they ultimately, or what do they ultimately want to achieve?
Yeah, I remember I just came out from a Tony Robbins seminar. So I was pumped. I walk on fire. I screamed for 4 days and jump up and down. And I had, I'm going to be a millionaire by the end of the year.
Yeah, some people expect it by the end of the week.
Exactly. So. And I didn't have a bloody clue how to make it to get it happen. Did that happen? Guess what?
It happens to me quite frequently. A lot of people come and speak to me because they want to work with me. They want me to mentor them or promote them or whatever it is. You know, ultimately, they're just seeing themselves like Tony Robbins, 8,000 people in a seminar room. And I'm saying, hold on a minute, there's a few little steps in between. So one of the things that I always tell people.
Get 5 people first in a seminar, then we talk about the thousand.
Exactly. Well, listen, get 2 in if you can, or 5, as you said. But I think one of the things I always say, and you learn, I suppose, with age, I'm a bit older now, is things take time. To materialize, to build yourself as a brand, it takes time.
It takes time, and I think we started really on the right foot with this interview because I remember when I started, I didn't have a realistic expectation at all, and I get a lot of people coming to me and say, "Oh, I want to have this business, and I want to make a million by the end of the year. I want to make 6 figures by the end of the year," and I'm like, "Have you ever made a pound yet?" All right. So we are talking about strategy. So that's one thing that's standing out. So talking about strategy. Now, the other question was, you started immediately with this Best You exposition. So can you tell us a bit more about the Best You project and how the heck did you manage to create such a buzz from day one?
Well, it wasn't actually necessarily over day one. It took me a long time. I mean, look, I started personally, my journey started doing NLP training. So it was only when I became a trainer and, well, I actually understood quite early that I wanted to get into personal development. So it was when I did my NLP training, I knew that this is something I wanted to do for the future. But I basically had the opportunity to run or take over from Paul McKenna. Mm-hmm. And continue the seminars that they were running, him and Richard Bandler. So that's how I started. I really started running or promoting, first of all, training myself, but then becoming a promoter for these guys. So it took me 4 years to build my database. I did have a big database to start with from Paul McKenna, but to double, triple, quadruple it, it took me 3 or 4 years. But I knew more or less within the first couple of years that there was more to it. There had to be something more to personal development exclusively than NLP. So I had the concept and the idea of the best you, quite soon. It took a long time. So it took me 4 years of publishing the magazine and obviously creating a lot of awareness of the magazine, interviewing all sorts of great people. And then we launched the expo, which is what we did this year, which was overwhelming, but incredibly, fulfilling.
And I can imagine. So I think that this is a great message for everyone who is going to be listening to this interview, which is, the expo had an incredible turnout. It was an incredible success. I mean, I had a lot of friends like Elliot, Anik from Point Express, and they were there. But they were 4 years before of constant publishing the magazine and working on the magazine. And I think that in everything is about consistency, isn't it?
It is. And as I said, we worked very, very hard in creating good quality content. We've given a lot for free. I've invested a lot of time and money in resources. You know, we've reinvested a lot of money into kind of building the Best You brand. But listen, we're now in a position where hopefully we can become a global reference within the next 1 to 2 years, because we're launching, apart from the expo, the TV, the radio, all sorts of great stuff.
And that's great. So now getting back on, at the end of the interview, we're going to be talking also for people that would love to get involved in the Best You project and how they can get involved in that. But at the moment, again, talking about becoming a force in the personal development industry. So I have my plan, I have my strategy. Now, in your opinion, and it's just more a personal question, what can you do really to stand out? Because as you said before, yeah, a lot of people that are doing similar things, or you find that the business model that they use is pretty much the same, or the information that they're giving after a while. I mean, there is so much things that you can say about motivation at the end of the day, right? So with all this content that everyone is pouring constantly out there, and some people only sort of pouring, they are vomiting it, but this is another story. Now, with all this content, how can you stand out and still have people that are generally interested in all the free material that you're putting out?
One of the things, I mean, listen, you're Italian. I don't have to tell you I'm Spanish, you know, but one of the key words is passion, passion. A lot of people, you know, do this half-hearted. And I think people are, you know, they're very smart. They're clever. So they're very quickly, they can identify, you know, who means it from the heart and who doesn't, whose heart's in the right place and whose isn't. So I think having passion, speaking with passion and communicating, you know, a message that has meaning and where ultimately you're out there to do good and to help others, you know, will be compensated in time. I think a lot of people, you know, just as you said, just put stuff out there and expect to get kind of, you know, a response or build their database very quickly. Passion and time and patience and knowledge. I mean, you know, knowledge is key. A lot of people, you know, some people do. I understand that the people that are in the personal development industry, we understand the importance of investing in ourselves and reading and learning and attending seminars. But you know, I continue to engage, meet, read and engage with many people. So knowledge is also a key thing. Passion, patience, time, and obviously, you know, a hunger to learn and to understand that you've got to carry on updating your internal software.
That's brilliant, Artie. I hope you're writing this down. So we have passion. We have, what was that, a second? So we
patience.
Have passion, patience and hunger for knowledge.
Yeah.
Make sure you write this down, Artie, because we are going to put this in the blog. Okay, so now I have my passion. This is good news also for people that are British. You don't need to be Italian or Spanish. So, no, because I know
we just move the hands. We just move the hands a lot more. You know, and
I mean, Bernardo, let's be honest. We have an unfair advantage.
Listen, what can we do? What can we do? Okay, we can't turn it off. Sometimes I say I have to turn it off a little bit. Okay, I'll turn it off. But people have to turn it on. You know, it doesn't matter the fact that you're Spanish, English, or whatever it is. You know, I just think is that people aren't stupid. You go on stage, you speak with passion, you speak from the heart, people automatically engage with you and buy into what you have to say.
And that's great. So guys, remember, being passionate is really key. And I think that I personally built my business out of passion. I mean, I'm nowhere near a great speaker, but people engage with my passion if they can understand my accent.
That's half the battle.
That's half the battle.
Money.
I'm fine. Thank you, Artie. I love you. Thank you. Now, I have another question for you. So can you tell us a bit more also about you and what actually got you into the personal development industry? Because we've been talking about how can you stand out, been talking about the best you, and what got you started, what got you involved? I'd love to hear a bit more about that.
Look, I came across personal development like a lot of people. Some people come across it earlier in life. I came across it quite late, my mid-30s. I started asking questions. You know, I was quite successful. I was quite wealthy. I was living in Spain. I had a lovely lifestyle and family. But I thought, you know, there has to be more to life. There has to be something that's a little bit more fulfilling than what I'm doing now. And that's it. I came across NLP. It blew me away. I wasn't expecting.
I'm asking, what were you doing before?
My background, I used to be in real estate and properties. I used to develop and build properties in Spain. I was born in London. My parents are Spanish, but I was brought up in Spain. I've lived there all my life. I've been in London only, well, back for 9 years. But yeah, no, I came across personal development because I just thought, you know, this NLP, I read Paul McKenna's book, Change Your Life in 7 Days. And it started, you know, I was very intrigued. So that was my journey. I then instantly knew that I wanted to become an author. I wanted to write my own books and become a good looking version of Paul McKenna for the Spanish speaking market.
And you made it. I got to say that.
I haven't made it yet. My project is still in motion. But so I literally had the opportunity to take over the company, which was something I wasn't expecting. But I've struggled with adversity quite a few times. I lost my money twice. The second time was a bit more challenging because I was 40, 41. I literally lost everything. And I was pushed to come to London and do something completely different. And that's what I did. I started, I was good at sales, good at marketing. I think I've always had a good take at it. And I had the opportunity to start in personal development as a seminar promoter. So when I came to London, I came to the grey weather, not so great food, and with a lot of hope. And a lot of passion and a lot of work. And here I am, you know, 8 years later, NLP Life is the largest NLP training organization in the world. And you know, we've got the best Jew. So that's it. That's my story.
And that's brilliant. So what got you, when you lost everything for the second time? I mean, I can understand it coming from, say, okay, actually, very wealthy background and a property developer, and I mean, it was comfortable in life. Then losing everything in the second time, what was the, if you have to see, what was the main thing that got you through? Say, actually, not give up, because it could be easy when they say again.
Yes, again, exactly. I thought I really haven't cracked these real estate crash markets, you know. So no, I think it caught me like it caught so many other people, completely unprepared, unexpected, and it was very, very difficult because, you know, I commuted from Spain to London every week, every other week. My family was still there for the first 3 years. So it was very difficult to be away from my family. And it was also very difficult to try and start understanding that in the back, you know, the banks were trying to take all my properties, or they did. And you know, we had to try and make it work. So, but listen, you know, I'm a great believer. One of the things I talk about quite frequently is resilience. Right. Resilience, revolution. I also believe that I believe we're all resilient in ways that we're not even capable of understanding. I believe that we all have to reinvent ourselves at a certain time in our lives. I think it's good. I think it's necessary. And I also believe that, you know, we all have to struggle as well through a revolution as such. And that's revolution is of who am I? Who do I want to become? So those are my key things. I'm just very resilient. I don't take no for an answer. I get a beating. I go to bed. I get up next morning. I do again. So that's how I work. That's my mindset.
And that's brilliant. I think that I remember when I lost everything, which was a bit of a mixture, because on one side I lost everything, and on the other side I said, because I've lost this, let me give all the rest that I have away. I was in a weird mind in that moment, and when I lost everything, I said, you know what, all the other stuff I don't need, I'll give them away. And I started living only with a backpack for a year plus, and I was living where I could sleep and working where I could work. And it was a really interesting adventure where also I had to take a really hard look at myself at the time and say, what is that you want to create? And in that experience, definitely resilience came to hand. And I remember watching a lot of videos, in particular of Les Brown, Tony Robbins, and the big motivational speakers, and they were the one that helped me going through that moment and not settling down or giving up on where I was. So I can definitely empathize with you when you're talking about resilience and making it happen. Now, I would love just to change the topic, because now we have a marketing genius here in this interview. So it wouldn't be fair for our listener if I didn't pick your brain about marketing and getting people at events. because a lot of our listeners, they are, they want to, they are doing their own events, or they want to start doing their own events. So, Bernardo, about events, can you tell me, first of all, some of the, like, three of the biggest mistakes that people make that get no people attending at their events?
Three of the mistakes. I don't know. I think, look, the thing is with running events and seminars is that it's never the same rule. You know, I don't think there are, I mean, obviously there's certain things, there's foundations of putting an event together that are always the same. Okay. You've got to have the right copy. You've got to have the right marketing material, the visuals, the banners. You've obviously got to create it and make it interesting. You've got to have a good price structure. You've got to offer incentives for people to buy or to, you know, kind of like a countdown and create urgency. Mm-hmm. There's certain things that are a must. But obviously kind of also the social media, you know, social media is essential. But engaging with people instead of trying to sell to them necessarily, you know. But I think a lot of the times people don't really understand the importance of having some good partners and joining forces with people. I think the success of any event is having the right partners involved and being involved. I also think a lot of people want to run events and they want to run them on their own. And that's a big challenge. Unless you're a big name, unless you're, you know, Les Brown, Tony Robbins, Richard Bandler, you know, it's difficult to fill rooms, especially charge, you know, top dollar for it. So I think people don't really understand the importance of partnering up with other people. So if you join forces with someone or a group of people that could run, you know, where you could jointly run an event together, you're obviously mitigating the possible, you know, outlay, but also you're also making sure that it can be successful. One of the formats that always works for us is when you run 5, 6, 8 speakers in a day, these introduction days works really, really well. When people try to do it with one speaker on their own, it's very difficult. So kind of the expo worked really well for us because everybody bought into the expo concept and the expo idea. And we obviously asked them all or gave them all a number of tickets to give out. So, you know, the numbers are simple. You have 50, 60 exhibitors, stroke speakers, and each of them send 50, 100 tickets. You've got 5,000, 6,000 people. So join forces. That would be one of my thing. And do all the necessary steps. You have to have the right visuals. You have to have the right marketing. And obviously, you know, a good list.
So now you're talking about joining forces. In your opinion, like from your experience, how do you decide who are the right people to join forces with and who are not? And I'll ask you this question because I remember when I started, I wanted to join forces with everyone. As soon as someone had you know, when you go to a networking event and you start as a coach or a speaker, at the beginning you start, oh, you're a coach too, great. Then now it's like, oh, you're another coach. Right? At the beginning there is this excitement. You're a coach too, yeah, let's have something together. But how do you decide from what is a real opportunity and what is actually a distraction?
Look, I'm very careful with who I work with, and I'm also always on the lookout with people or to work with people that have a strong ethos or a similar ethos to me. I want people that stand out and that have great credibility and a good following, because, you know, at the end of the day, we all work very hard to build our database and our followings, and you don't want to risk it. I you know, not so much now because. But, you know, I still frequently get asked to either promote them. Can you send an email out? Can you do this? Can you do that? And Steve Covey has a great quote that says that in order to be understood, first you need to understand. And that's the truth. The truth is people are always looking out for what's for them instead of looking at how can I help you? You see, I'm a seminar promoter amongst many other things. But so I am used to promoting, putting my resources and my neck on the line to be able to deliver an amazing event. So I'm used to doing that and I will do that. But, you know, on the other hand, if people want me to put my my resources at there. First, they have to say, you know what, Bernardo, I can help you doing this, 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 and this. And people will be more inclined to work with you. So I would ask people to go out and think first of how they can help others. I think I mentioned this before, apart from thinking what they can get from themselves. And then, you know, things will happen. But look for people that you're happy to work with, yeah, that yeah. have a similar ethos, that you're happy with, that you would like to have a beer with, you'd like to have a drink with, you know, because a lot of the times, you know, it's not about business. You have to work with people that you're comfortable and happy with.
And I agree with you, because sometimes I remember I was talking with a friend of mine, and he just got into partnership with a person to promote their seminars. And he's having an awful experience at the moment. So on a personal level, so the person actually is doing a good job in promoting the seminar, but the experience, the personal experience is not there. And at the end of the day, I mean, we are business owners, and we are in this because something that maybe not all, most of the time I find that most of the business owners are not in there only for the money. I mean, money is a good part if you are an entrepreneur of it, but it's also because they want to do something they actually enjoy, they can be in control of, and they can work with the people that they love. So I agree with you, do something that you love with the people that you love. And now, what has been, this is a personal curiosity, what has been the, like, you know, you go some seminar that everything goes wrong. And if you're done another seminar, you know what I'm talking about, where, is that these seminars where, for example, I was running a seminar and doing a meditation that one of our speakers was doing, the aircon started dripping in the room. So the aircon that it was started dripping in the room, and the speaker was going through the meditation. So I said, the speaker was actually really good and said, imagine you have a waterfall coming in. So he used that. It was great. Then this hotel staff came in with a big bucket and started emptying the bucket in a big metal one, creating a big noise in the room. And I was fuming at the time. And it was just one of the many things. So this is just one personal example. So what has been the thing that you would say, I will remember this for the rest of my life, because I hope that will never happen again.
Well, to be honest, I can imagine those things happening. I mean, you know, venues are so expensive in London. So I can imagine that you would probably have to hire a place where you can, you know, where it rains inside. But
is that the service?
Exactly. But, you know, there's one of those things you pay what you get for. So, look, I've been lucky. I've attended many, many, many seminars. And obviously, I'm quite selective with what kind of seminars I want to go to. But I've attended many seminars. And to be honest, nearly all of the ones that I've seen are quite professional. The thing is, obviously, I'm very critical. Mm-hmm. When I was in Spain, I was in the military police for 13 months. So I still have that. Yeah, exactly. I still have the corporal mentality of managing and running teams and people and soldiers. So the bigger the event, the more excited I get. And I don't get really excited now when I've got a couple of hundred people or something. I only get excited with 3,000-5,000 people. So, yeah. You know, I love the logistics about it. And I think, you know, planning an event and thinking in detail of the whole process. I remember my first event, which I did with Paul McKenna. We had 500 people, was in Excel. Mm-hmm. And I was sick. I was sick because I was so nervous. I didn't sleep for days. And because, you know, but, you know, it's planning. What it is planning and experience. But plan. And I always throw a lot of people at all my events. So I make sure that because, you know, I'm NLP trained, and it doesn't necessarily, you have to be NLP trained, but it helps you get in the right state. You know, what they say is that if you're in the state, or if you want someone to go to that state, you need to be there first. So the energy is always great. We're always really positive, very excited. We welcome people, you know, with big arms and big smiles and everything else. You got to put people in the right frame of mind, the right state. Sometimes things go wrong. Listen, it doesn't matter. But, you know, I've been lucky that I've got a great sound engineer. I've got kind of like a great team. We have loads of assistants that assist us or help us on the events. So, but planning, logistics, throw people at it. And when things go wrong, listen, just put your hands up and don't try and disguise it. Because if there's water in the room, you know, I think people like heard it. You got to bring your hands up. So, listen, I'm sorry, guys. You know, it's on me.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, sometimes this thing can happen. And I agree with you in terms of the planning. there is never enough planning that you can do for an event, for having everything sorted. Because I don't know, but for those people that are like me, which is lastminute.com, which I need the people that get me in check, because ooh, it's the night before the event and I haven't printed the manuals yet. Don't print the manuals, all that. So planning is crucial, and I've learned the hard way.
Yeah.
On getting things ordered.
Yeah. and attention to detail. You know, the attention to detail. You know, the how quickly is registration? You know, are people coming in? Are you welcoming them? Do you have the disclaimers? Are the people in the right place? Have you put within the logistics who's standing where? Who's doing registration? Are there the right people to be in registration? Who's going to be at the door? I normally welcome all my customers at the door. I shake their hand at every single one, or as many of them as I can. Not the expo because it was too many, but kind of, you know, I give that personal touch, and I think it's very, very important, because that we get great feedback and people come back for more.
And now, so regarding the, you mentioned before about having the right people in the right places. So if you have to give me a breakdown on, okay, these are the right people, these are the right roles that someone who maybe is planning a big event, these are the roles that they need to consider. And the reason why I'm asking that, it is because when I was emceeing Les Brown in London, that was an incredible opportunity. And I got in because of a very funny story. I contact the event organizer on Facebook and I send her a message, and she replied and said, oh, great. I said, thank you for bringing Les Brown to London. Do you need any help? And she replied, yeah, great, no, I'm fine. I said, okay. I said, well, I run about 200 events a year. If you need any help, let me know. She replied, it's actually my first event. Can you jump on a call? All right. Cut on a call with her. She had no clue about what she was doing, no people in place, and the event was 3 weeks down the line. And I was, oh my God, are you serious? The same thing happened with Gary Vee. When I got to organize Gary Vee's event in the Sporting Hall, the organizer, I actually met the organizer on Blab randomly. I said, again, I'm SC Les Brown, organized more than 200 events. Do you need any help? They said, yeah, it's my first event. So, okay, that's a pattern here. I already saw where it's going. I said, okay, there's an event with 500 people. Okay, we're in a boxing ring. Okay. The event started 5. Okay. How many crew members do you have? It's like, I have 4 friends. That's a start. And we have access to the venue at 4 o'clock. So we have 1 hour to prepare the venue. But actually, managed the crew and we managed to put it out. And we made it. So the team was working incredibly well. We were militant in the things they were going to do. So for you, from your experience.
I was feeling extremely anxious with everything you've been telling me. It's just terrible.
Are you a bit of a control freak, Bernardo?
No, I let my team get on with it. But you know, I am on it. I'm obviously I do let them get, you know, take care of the basics. Yeah, you know, yeah. But I am on it. But when it comes down to the day, or you know, kind of we have quite a few. I mean, the expo we had at least 4 or 5 meetings. You know, throughout 6 months, 3 months, 2 months, 1 month. A week, you know, and obviously the day or a couple of days before. So, listen, the thing is that I don't really think a lot of people appreciate, and I'm very saddened because I've attended seminars. I'm not going to mention who or where, but I've attended seminars with some big names, and I've got to places, okay, and I've got a VIP ticket, and there's these kids standing there who've got absolutely no idea. They've just given them a T-shirt. The guy standing there, he doesn't even know his name. How is he going to know my name? Okay. And I'm a VIP. Okay. I've been invited by the.
I paid a grand for a bloody ticket.
Yeah, exactly. I've been invited by the guest speaker. The guy's on stage. He's actually invited me. So he doesn't even know who I am. He's walking around and walking around. He's speaking to these guys. He's speaking to the other guys. I just can't believe it. I cannot believe it. Listen, it's a serious business. I say this, personal development is a serious business. And it has to be taken seriously, because you only have one occasion to make a good impression. I've attended many, many seminars where people are treated like numbers. Okay, yes, they're treated like cattle, like goats, and it's wrong. It's wrong. People have to feel special. You know, they've paid a lot of money to come to these courses, so you should know their name. You should know everything there is to know about it. And if there is something wrong, you've got to make them feel comfortable. You've got to apologize, and you've got to put them in. So, listen, it's just about being organized. I can't even imagine, you know, running an event like this and not knowing, you know, oh, let's print the manuals tomorrow, mañana. Listen, I'm Spanish, but I'm not Spanish that way, okay?
Well, I can see. But I mean, I've seen, as I said, I've seen a lot of events. And actually, one of them, I remember one of the times where actually it cost me a lot because that mistake quadrupled my business cost overnight. So which wasn't a big hit for us when that happened. I actually had a venue, a great relationship with a venue in a 5-star hotel. And it was a small room for about 50 people. It was a 5-star hotel, really beautiful. And I had it for £100 a day. It was the golden thing because I could run as many events as possible, even for 50 people. I didn't care. I was just spending £100 for the venue. And I actually got excited because I was one of the first year that we were running it. People were booking in and booking tickets. And I got excited and said, yeah, people are booking these tickets, right? I arrived to about 400 registrations in a room of 50 people. Now, people started coming in and the rooms started getting packed. Rooms are getting packed and packed and packed. No more chairs. People start stacking back in the room, standing in the room. And then there was no more space. So people started screaming and shouting that they wanted to get in. And it was a free event, but they wanted to get in. And as was the right, they got their ticket. It was entirely my fault. And that cost me the relationship with the venue. They didn't want me anymore to run the events there. And immediately I have to move somewhere else where my business costs were quadrupled overnight. So I think that there are some small things that it really needs to put in place in order to make an event a great event. Now, for example, for you, you said that you're doing your meeting and you're doing your preparation as well. What are the things that you want to monitor closely in order to make sure that your event runs in the Bernardo's way and not Mañana's way?
Listen, it depends the event. Look, at the end of the day, for me, kind of one of the key things is registration. I think registration, when it comes down to running events, has to be as smooth as possible. But listen, the whole process, the moment someone books, there needs to be a booking confirmation. The booking confirmation obviously has to have the right information. Sometimes it hasn't. It has to have the right hotel, and sometimes it hasn't. And it has to have the right timetable, and sometimes it hasn't. And so on. You know, so the booking confirmation is essential. Then a nurture, you know, throughout. I think it's something that we're only learning now, because, you know, we've always managed to sell our events very well. But kind of one of the things we tend to do now is really nurture our customers throughout the process, because if someone books 3, 2 months, 6 months before, you know, you need to keep them excited, and because, you know, people book and especially sign up.
What ways do you nurture the people that attend your event or that register maybe 2 or 3 months in advance?
Yeah, I mean, I think nurturing them, keeping them in the loop with whatever it is that's happening, keeping them interested in the event that they've actually signed up for, it's important. You might have a follow-up sequence. Well, that's great. They're getting some emails from you. But it's important to communicate with them. I'm not a big fan of free. I've only done a couple of free events. I'm not going to do them anymore, ever again, just because I feel that, you know, again, it's a very serious business. I think people should pay something because, you know, it costs money. And people aren't silly or stupid. Ultimately,
okay. Okay. Let's pick the conversation from here.
Okay.
Because I have a different view. I'm an advocate for free events.
Okay.
So now, what I would love to hear from you is why do you prefer a paid event rather than a free event? And also, what are the main differences for you in terms of, like, your choices?
Look, I understand that there's a lot of free out there, okay? We put a lot of free content and we do a lot of events where we do give tickets away for free, but we give them away for free to our customers. We don't necessarily give them away to anybody. I think at the end of the day, people have to appreciate and understand that the people that are sharing their expertise have spent thousands of hours training, learning, reading, or whatever it is. So they have something to share. The chair that they're sitting on, the space that they're walking in, you know, costs money. And I feel that people have to understand that. Now, it could be a symbolical £5. It could be a symbolical £10. It has to be something. I've run events whereby we've had amazing speakers lined up for 8 or 9 days, where, sorry, 8 or 9 speakers for a whole day. And we have obviously sent them, you know, sticky emails whereby we're saying, guys, we're looking forward to seeing you in a week or 2 weeks' time. And then you send them another reminder, guys, we're looking forward to seeing you. And we say to them, look, if you can't make it, please let us know because we're nearly sold out and we would really appreciate because, you know, somebody could take your seat. And then they don't show. And then they don't show. And I personally think that that's disrespectful. I think it's wrong. And listen, 5-10% of them may have personal reasons. But there's so many people that have an operation. Their leg is broken or their mother has passed away. Or come on, seriously. It's a joke. It's a joke. And it's disrespectful to me as a speaker, as an author, to all my guests. It's disrespectful to the business in general. So I think there's a lot of free stuff out there. Great. You guys believe in it, carry on doing it. I'm not a great believer in that. I think you pay what you get for. I think if something is of good value, people should pay something for it.
Like that. Thank you very much. I always love to hear different opinions because, for example, the reason why we love free events is because there is less commitment for people to attend. In particular, if someone is new or in particular is a new speaker or coming up, upcoming, then I found that when I started, not now, but when I started, it was very difficult to sell even that £5 ticket. And I'm like, you know what? It's just so bloody hard to spend this £5 ticket. And probably because my marketing strategy was completely wrong, then I can put it down to there. But it was just so hard selling that £5
ticket. Listen, I agree with you. I'm talking now as a seminar promoter, okay? I'm not talking as a speaker. I agree with you. I think when you're starting, I get all sorts of people that want me to pay them, you know? And I say, hold on a minute. I don't know who you are, you know? With the greatest of respect, I don't know who you are. If you want to speak at my event, I won't charge you or I will charge you. So I get it. Yeah, I think as a speaker, you have to do whatever it takes to find as many opportunities. When I go out and speak, I don't normally charge, okay? And I do that because I believe in what I'm doing. I'm trying to help the promoter. But having said that, you know, putting events together, and as a promoter, I believe that as a promoter, if you can, and if you've got a good customers and it's a great value what you offer, you should charge.
So what are some ways, for example, let's say if someone is a new speaker, because most of our listeners, they are upcoming speakers or coaches, and they will love, and they say, actually, Bernardo, like, screw Simone, stop talking about free events. I want to follow Bernardo's way. He's the boss here. So now, what I want to hear from you is that what could you recommend to someone who would love to start a paid event but is not well known at the moment in terms of actually making the process of ticket sales easier? Is it making sense?
Yeah. Well, I said, listen, I'm a great believer in running events with other people. I think when you put experts together, when you put a variety of – we did an event this week, Andy, it's called Turning Pro, and it was 8 or 9 speakers with –
Elliot was
an expertise. Yeah,
Was Elliot speaking?
Yes, there? Elliot was one of the speakers.
Yeah, I saw. I saw his pictures on Facebook about Tony Pro.
Okay, so you know, it was a fantastic event. The quality of the stuff that we delivered was amazing. I mean, I've got it all recorded, but you know, that was a free event, and as I said, I mean, you know, we had hundreds and hundreds of people, but we had a really high percentage of people that didn't show. And as I said, I don't normally, and I haven't done many free events. I won't be doing it. I think in particular that you can charge people £10 and say to them, look, if you show up, we'll refund you. That's also an option. It just shows commitment. I believe that for people that want to start, I really think that joining forces with other experts. So if your expertise is coaching, I don't know, coaching phobias, for example, helping people with phobias, then coach with someone that maybe is more business orientated, or work with someone that might help you with social media. You know, I think putting a group of people together is always more enticing and more interesting for people. And between them, they should be able to get a good turnout. And then if people like what you do, obviously, quite rightly, you're going to say, guys, listen, I obviously have my own seminars. And if you want to find out more, I'm at the back of the room and I'll give you more information about it. I think that's a great way to start.
And this is great. In fact, that reminds me from a seminar I was emceeing on Saturday or Sunday. Something that we do with the members of our community, because we work with speakers and coaches that are starting out. Something that we do, we actually get them to work together and create a multi-speaker event. So we have challenges and competition, right, in different groups. And they had a packed room. And when I thought about that, because I was just, no, it's my event. But if I thought about that, I was like, wow, this is powerful stuff, right? So I think that was really proof of what you are talking about. Now, we are all towards the end of the interview. Can you let us know, well, first of all, thank you. It's been incredible.
My pleasure.
For someone who wants to stand out, in particular wants to start seminars or events and what you share today, like, I would just take a checklist, because it's golden nugget to make sure that, because people think a lot about the sales of the event, how many sales can I make, without realizing that this is what makes the sales possible.
It's what makes the sales possible, but most importantly, it's what makes more sales.
Mm-hmm. True.
Someone coming to an event of yours and having a good experience. You could listen. It's the same. I'm going to talk with something that you'll probably understand. Okay. Love eating. So when I go to a restaurant, yes. So when
you're
friends. If you go to a restaurant and the food is excellent, okay, but the service is crap, shit. I'm not talking average. I'm talking really bad. I don't know you. I probably wouldn't go back.
Nope.
Okay.
No way.
Now, if you go to a restaurant where the food is okay, average, but the service is amazing, I would probably go back. So it's the attention to detail. So making sure that people ultimately have the most amazing day and the best experience at your event is absolutely key in order for repeat business. Because if not, all the work that you've done, all the email marketing, the social media, booking the venue, getting the people, everything, yeah, exactly, bye-bye. It just doesn't come back. So because people won't come back. Why would they come back? So I think that's the main focus. I think people focus on that, but then they don't understand the importance of running a very good event and making the experience ultimate.
And I think that's really, on this note, what I would love to ask you is, can you tell us a bit more about the Best You Expo and also the Best You projects that you have running out, and how people that are speakers or coaches that would love to get involved and be part of this movement, how can they get involved in that?
Well, look, my plan is for global domination. Okay, so the plan is to really take the Best You all over the world, but most importantly, become multi-platform. I think one of the things that people don't really identify is that, I think they do, but they might not have the tools, is that personal development is interesting for people in so many different kinds of formats. So to have a magazine or to be able to publish a book, to be able to have video content, a TV channel like we're looking at launching, to have radio podcasts, to be able to represent talent, work with talent where you can provide them speaking opportunities, to be able to have all that and to be able to run events ultimately is kind of what we're trying to achieve. So we've got all sorts of seminars and workshops, the Turning Pro, which is an event where we're helping coaches, trainers, therapists take their personal career and their professional career to the next level with a 6-month program. Apart from that, we publish a magazine. We're launching the TV channel in March 2017, which is going to go to the US. We have a partnership over there. So it's going to be all the content that we've been filming and recording for the last 3 years will be shown through Roku, Hulu, Samsung, and Amazon Prime. And then the expo. The expo was something that I was very passionate about. And ultimately, the idea with the expo is we did the first one this year. We're doing the next one next year. It's the 4th and 5th of March. So it's kind of like a festival of personal development. It's a, I call it the Glastonbury of the minds. So what we've got there is, yeah, it's cool. So what we've got there is we're going to have 160 exhibitors. We've got 108 workshops throughout 2 days. We've got 8 seminar rooms plus the main stage. We've got 9, and we're aiming for around 8,000 to 10,000 people. So I'm hoping you're going to be there, Simone, and I would like to offer you, obviously, and your customers and your clients some free tickets as well.
I'll definitely be there, and I'm already excited about being there. and it's going to be a great opportunity for everyone that wants to, on the one side, learn, or on the other side, also promote your services or programs as a coach, because I know that there are also these opportunities. So we will put a link in the show notes as well, so then your page, so that people can get in touch with you.
Thank you.
And I think that on the final note, if there is one message you would like to leave our listeners with, what message would it be?
I don't know. I just think. Pardon?
You can say anything that you want.
Tranquilidad. I just say, you know, be patient. You know, work with the right people. You know, offer instead of asking. But you know, give yourself time, give yourself credibility. Because I'm a big fan of Malcolm Gladwell and the 10,000 hours. I believe you've got to put the hours in. I think those people that come in and expect to become famous overnight, and as you said, make millions, it doesn't happen. You've got to put the hours in. You've got to be passionate about what you're doing. But yeah, listen, it's an amazing business that we're involved in, and I can see it just growing and growing and growing, because people need kind of the expertise that coaches, trainers, and we provide.
That's great. Thank you very much.
That was more than one golden nugget, but anyway, thank you.
Over-delivering. It's in your nature.
I'm sorry.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for watching. Looking forward to seeing you next week.
Make sure you connect with me on the show and also share this podcast with your friends and everyone about this information. Thank you so much. Thank you, Simone. Well done. Keep the good work. Keep it up.
That's the plan.
See you for now. Thanks so much. Cheers, bye.